big historical events don't happen without bearing some kind of fruit. The Protestant Reformation is bearing fruit still. It's bitter fruit, and we hope that that will go away with time. What it's done is it's introduced into our culture a concept of religious options. I have the option of going to this church, or I have the option of going to that church. Well, I can go to the Anglican church because their mass is just like the Catholic one. And you wonder, well, why don't they just go for the real thing? And the answer is, well, they really don't want to make the commitment. Here's what happens. You get this concept of religion and choice, options and alternatives, which to the American mindset can be culturally attractive. And you overlook something bigger, something that it's not about religion. It's about our heart. It's about falling in love. It's about commitment to the end. Something that doesn't really come out of, well, I could go to this one or I could go to that one. Now, the crowd is working Jesus this way today in the gospel. And it's like shopping for a church. Well, what can you do? Now, he's already been feeding the large crowds, and they kind of like that idea. So they're, you know, keep on coming, keep feeding us. Well, there's a food that will give eternal life. Oh, well, give us that one. Says, I am that food. Translation. There is no other option. There's no place else to go. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will live forever. Now, one of the important things to keep in mind about the Eucharist is, just like anything that we eat, we become what we eat. We become what we eat and drink. And there's no diet food in the Eucharist. There's only the bread of life. And the life that lived, that will, the bread that will give us life forever. And that bread changes us, because as we receive the bread of life, we become Him. He gives us His body, we become like Him. Now, St. Luke, when he was writing the Acts of the Apostles, went to great lengths to show just how much like Jesus the church was becoming. So there are a lot of contextual activities going on. One is an almost perfect replay of the entire Old Testament of the temple authorities, scribes and elders, killing the prophets. And that's what happens to the first martyr recorded in the New Testament, to St. Stephen, and he gained the title proto-martyr. What was he doing? He was prophesying, like the Old Testament prophets. There are a number of things that get replayed in imitation of Jesus. One of them, for instance, we heard last week when Peter was in the temple and they were trying him, and they wanted to do the same thing to to Peter and John that they ended up doing to Stephen. So here was the trial in the temple again. So they're getting pulled back over and over again back into the temple as if they were going on trial. And Jesus and Peter says to them, you know, there's still an opportunity for you to repent. Out of ignorance, you rejected him. Do you hear the echo of Jesus on the cross saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And here again is Stephen, who, by the way, was only recruited to wait on tables, to do St. Vincent de Paul work for the parish. That was what he was recruited for. Find seven good men in our community. We know that the Greek Jewish Christians are not being well treated. Bring us seven good men. And that's the beginning of our tradition of the permanent diaconate. Their job was to be St. Vincent de Paul in Jerusalem, to take care of a community that felt like it was being left out. If he kept on waiting on tables, maybe he wouldn't have had this encounter with the stoning. But we hear that he was preaching, and he was doing a really good job. Peter, earlier in the chapters of Acts, was preaching and doing a really good job, and that preaching was bringing people into the community. He was feeding them spiritually. And just like with Jesus and Peter and what happened with Paul later on over and over again, that can get you killed. You can get hurt preaching the Word of God. And then as Stephen is dying, Paul, who was the district attorney at the time, is standing over on one side watching the stoning and watching the coats of those who were doing the stoning, which is to imply he was approving of the sentence being carried out. And meanwhile, here's Stephen looking up to heaven and seeing God and then saying to them, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And this is one of the themes that is worked all the way through Acts of the Apostles by St. Luke, is how this new Christian community began to imitate Jesus over and over and over again. And that story will be repeated later on as Paul is hauled before various tribunals and they want to kill him. Acting out the life of Jesus. So going back to this issue of options in religion, the one thread that is common to all of this is it's not about choosing a religion. It's about falling in love. And once you fall in love, there's no turning back. Once you fall deeply in love, you hand your heart over. This is not choosing where you're going to send your tithe. This is making a commitment to give more and more and more of yourself as Jesus did, as Peter and the apostles did, as Stephen did, not counting the cost. It's about falling in love